Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm pleased that you're joining us for a very special program. We're going to be talking about Northampton Community College's Fowler campus, and I'm privileged to have in the studio with me Dr. Paul Pierpoint, who's the dean of the Southside campus. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Nice to have you here again. It's been several years since I've had you on the show.
It is. It's about time I got back here.
Yes, it is. It's about time I invited you back here. Actually, you know, it's been 11 years since the community college expanded its Bethlehem presence by adding a South Bethlehem campus, the Fowler campus. And if you were here in the beginning and you go back to the campus today, you're going to see that there's amazing growth for that campus. And if you look at the courses, both the credit and the non-credit programs have expanded greatly. We're going to be talking about some of those tonight. We're going to be looking back a little bit as well. And then we're going to look forward and say, you know, what's coming down the pike for this Southside campus? And just to give our listeners a little bit of background, the community college was founded in 1967, and it provides associate degrees in arts, science, and applied science. Some of the most popular majors include criminal justice, business administration, early childhood education, and liberal arts. And Paul, please correct me, these numbers may be a little bit old, but what I was able to find out is that you have a very low student-faculty ratio of 21 to 1. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm sure that hasn't changed at all. Yeah.
Okay. And they serve nearly 34,000 students on three campuses. There's the main campus on Green Pond Road, Tannersville, and South Bethlehem. And there's also satellite sites in Northampton and Monroe counties. So, wow, what a population. It's really grown. And the total number of students, at least from 67 to 2014, that were served by this college were 378,218. Wow.
It's over 400,000 now.
Over 400,000. Yeah. Uh-huh. Congratulations. That's great. Paul, since it's been a while since you've been here, could you just give a little recap on your background for our listeners? I know you know a lot of people that are probably listening, but for those that don't, let's introduce them to Paul Pierpoint.
Well, I've been in the Lehigh Valley since 1990, so I'm in my 27th year working for the community college. I came up as an academic dean. I had lived in West Virginia for 12 years before I came up here. When we came here, we thought we'll do a couple years, maybe 5 years, and then move on to someplace more exciting. And we fell in love with the Valley. And I will be retiring soon, and we plan to stay here, too. We just love this place and love the Valley, and I love Northampton Community College. So everything fell in the right place for me.
Terrific. Well, I'm going to have you jog your memory a little bit and go back to 2005. Mm-hmm. And that was when the college had just announced that they would be moving to the former Bethlehem Steel building on East 3rd Street. As you revisit that in your mind, and you and Art Scott and Helene Whitaker were really very instrumental in that, what did you envision at the time? Let's talk about what you originally thought, and then we'll get to what actually happened.
Right, right. Well, we had for a long time had space over in the FAR building at New and Broad Street, where we taught adult literacy, English as a second language. And we were just outgrowing that space. And at the same time, of course, as everybody knows, Bethlehem Steel was shutting down fast. And so, you know, we knew that we needed to be in the neighborhoods. We needed to be somewhere in South Bethlehem to make sure that whatever the development that occurred there, and we didn't know what it was going to be, but we knew something was going to come, that the people who live there continued to have the opportunity to work there. And so, you know, we started looking for maybe 15,000 square feet of space. We looked at more than 20 different buildings. We looked at old bowling alleys. We looked at everything. We went everywhere. And every time we looked at something, no matter how good it was, we thought, you know what, that's good, but it's not good enough. And that's big, but maybe not big enough. And our ideas, our dreams just got bigger and bigger. And then we actually did call a press conference and stood in front of a building that's 190,000 square feet and pointed at it and said, we're going to put a campus here in South Bethlehem. Now, the only problem was it turned out it was not the right building that we were pointing to, but the vision was exactly right. And a year later, we were able to buy what at that time was called the Discovery Center, if you remember back when it was the Discovery Center.
Yeah.
So we bought that, and the rest is kind of history from there.
Yeah, and amazing how you have changed that building, updated that building over the years, and really made it into a very nice urban campus for the community
We're real
college.
Proud of it. It was a great building. The structure of the building itself is phenomenal. So just stripping it down to the bare steel and concrete and then building it back internally, it's just a fantastic facility, fantastic building. We're not quite done yet. We'll talk more about that, I know.
Yeah, we will. Now, at the time that you were doing this, what did you envision the core of the education courses, credit, non-credit, to be at that point? Because that was before the casino legislation and a lot of other things that...
Well, like I said, we didn't know what was going to come. We were hoping there'd be some manufacturing and things like that. But we did know, as everybody, you know, we know healthcare is huge. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many, many jobs in healthcare that don't require a full-blown college degree, you know. And that was sort of a sweet spot for what we wanted to do in South Bethlehem, is make sure that, you know, we've got a great nursing program, all these really good allied health programs on main campus. But we wanted to really expand things like nurse aid and farm tech and things where we could get people jobs on a much shorter, shorter training time, right, and get them up and running and getting them into work. And, of course, with St. Luke's right pretty close, you know, on the south side, and a lot of work there. And then Lehigh Valley Hospital was a big partner of ours. And so allied health and healthcare really took off. That was a big one. And, you know, we had this, we called it the Dream Days. And it was a couple of days we had in South Bethlehem where we met with people from all over the community and said, if we come here, what does the community want? And in addition to training, healthcare and access to healthcare was huge. So always from the beginning, that was part of our model to make sure that there was something we could do to address the healthcare needs in the region. And part of it, a big part of it, is training people. Another part of just making the facility available. And of course, that developed really well for us down the road.
Yeah. Now you started to offer clinics there, correct? Healthcare clinics?
Right. St. Luke's actually leases one whole floor of the building, virtually the entire floor. And they have three clinics in the facility that serve this community really, really well, including a pediatric clinic, a children's clinic. And in fact, more people come in and out of the building to go to the clinics than they do to come to the college.
Okay, well, we'll have to get that balance a little bit more and get you those students
The good thing is they're both, the audience is pretty much the same audience in many ways, not entirely, but you know, we seek to serve that same group of people, that same part of a population that oftentimes has not had access to all the opportunities that this great community has to offer.
Well, and you had said early on that your core focus of your programming was helping people improve their lives.
Absolutely. Right.
So that's the health, that's the education, that's the community, the sense of community that is down there.
Right. I mean, I think all education ultimately is designed to help people improve their lives. But when we think about higher education in particular, we tend to think of these, you know, classrooms and labs and, you know, sort of intensive kind of academic kind of approach to learning. But learning happens in a lot of different ways and a lot of different levels. And a comprehensive community college like Northampton, we try to address anybody's learning needs that will allow them to improve their lives. And maybe many times that's job-related, occupational, like what we were trying to do. Sometimes it's just quality of life, you know, giving people opportunity to learn a new hobby or how to prepare more nutritious food for their family and things like that. So the Southside campus has really embraced that very comprehensive approach to helping people improve their lives.
Yeah, and listeners, if you have never been down to the campus, you really do need to spend a few minutes sometime and go down and take a quick tour and see what's there. Although you're going to hear a lot of it tonight, some of the things are just so fascinating that we're going to be talking about. Let's talk about the target market, okay, and the students. A lot of them, you say, were initially to look at the South Side, but as you look at and peel back sort of the numbers, are the students just South Side? Or are they coming from other places?
Yeah, it's a regional campus. It really is. In some ways, in fact, I'm a little disappointed we're not getting more people directly out of the South Side neighborhoods, and we're trying to address that. But yeah, we did a zip code analysis a while ago, and we draw people from all over, including New Jersey, I mean, Bucks County. So it is a regional facility. And many of the non-credit, particularly the things that we do for business and industry, draws people from a pretty far away to come. And even our English as a second language, we draw folks from all the adjacent counties. Some of them just choose to come to us rather than, there are plenty of opportunities, but it's always kind of, we're happy to see them when they come to us.
That's good. And there's some give and take between the main campus and the South Side and Tannersville as well, correct, as far as course offerings and who does what?
Yeah, you cannot actually get a degree in the South Bethlehem campus. You have to, We have three different programs that are currently offered there: the hospitality management, hospitality tourism management, which is a very fast-growing, really great program serving the hotel, restaurant, and resort industry locally. And then our dental hygiene program. We moved our dental hygiene clinic from main campus to the Fowler Center, primarily so it would be more accessible to people in the community. So anybody that wants to, our students need people to come there and be their patients during their clinics. And they'll get really good high-end dental hygiene care. And we're also partnering directly with St. Luke's Dental Clinic. So there's a dentist on location. But all those students, they can take their dental classes on the south side, but all the rest, the science, the general ed, all that, they have to take on main campus. Okay. And then the third program is medical assisting, and the same thing. They all have to take their general classes on main campus, but their major classes and the specialty classes are in the south side.
Okay. Yep. Right. Well, there's another area that I think the south side has been extremely helpful to the community, and you sort of touched on it with hospitality, but with the casinos, I don't know if many of our listeners know that you're the only community college that has done training for the casinos.
Yeah, it's a little irony here because this is the last time we're doing that. But for 7 years, we've trained many of the table game dealers at the Sands Casino, and any of our students that came through our program were eligible to get a license, and they could work at a casino anywhere in the world, basically.
Wow.
And I was trying to get the number before I came on today. I think there's more than 1,500 people have gone through that program and gotten full-time jobs with benefits since we started the program.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And but now, and this is, in some ways, this is a good thing. It's not necessarily good for us, but it's a good thing. The Sands requires so many new dealers right now. There's an incredible demand as they expand. So they're actually bringing the training in-house.
Okay.
And, we're more than happy. I mean, they're a great partner. They've been wonderful with us, and we continue to partner in a lot of different ways. But that particular thing, that's kind of exciting, having our own casino in our building. Yeah, we're closing that down.
Oh, well.
It's done its job. It lived its life. It did its job.
Well, and that's important, too, because everything has a life.
Exactly.
A cycle. So, yep. And one never knows. Maybe when this demand stops, maybe the opportunity will come again.
Well, it's interesting because we have a need right now for another nursing lab, and it just happens to be about the same size as the casino room. So believe me, we're looking at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Well, those numbers are really nice, Paul. Full-time jobs. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And think about it. It started at the worst time of the Great Recession, and hundreds of people got jobs right away during the absolute worst economic time we've had certainly in my lifetime.
Well, and when the Sands first came here before it was even built, they were a part of the building that you're in, correct?
So they were great.
A nice relationship has developed.
Yeah. Many of the friends that we made in those first years, even before their building were opened, they're still working there. They're still great friends. And the relationship between the Sands and Northampton Community College is a very strong, very positive one.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that relationship a little later on. But now I want to focus on something that I don't know how many of our listeners really know about, and that's the Fab Lab. And if you were to look at, and I brought along just to look at my Northampton County Life Learn, these are non-credit courses.
Yep.
The section on the Fab Lab and what you can do in this lab are incredible. So, Paul, please share with our listeners how it started and what it's evolved to.
Way back, early years when we were in the South Bethlehem, one of the local South Bethlehem serial entrepreneurs, I call him, a guy named Shari Nagshine, who's absolutely incredible, he brought me a book. I never met him. He just came into my office and said, I know you're coming to the South Side and the college is a good institution, so I want you to read this book. And if you're up for it, I'll help start this Fab Lab. And the book is called Fab. And I read it over the weekend. And when I came back on Monday, I called him right away and said, we're in. We're totally in. I didn't even talk to Art Scott, the president at the time. I just said, we're going to do this. Because what the Fab Lab is about putting the ability to make things in the hands of ordinary, everyday people. That it's like a shop with every kind of imaginative, every kind of tool that you can imagine to make, whether it's wood, metal, plastic, electronics, anything. There is so much creativity in neighborhoods and in communities that never gets really tapped because people think they don't have the ability to do anything. And they think they need expensive equipment, or they need to have an engineering degree, or, you know, they need some kind of fabricators available to them. Well, what the Fab Lab does is it takes really advanced machines and equipment, as well as regular hand tools. We'll teach anybody how to use any piece of machinery, any piece of equipment in the Fab Lab, and we'll help you make whatever you, if you can dream it, if you can draw it, then we can make it. And we've helped, you know, some frequently it's artists and architects who have ideas. A lot of college students, including Lehigh students, have been there. A lot of companies, just a lot of people who just kind of tinker around in their garage and they want to, they've got this idea for a new thing they want to make. And it's taken off. It started out with a couple of small machines that Shari bought, our first really good piece of high-tech equipment, a laser cutter etcher, that continues to be the busiest piece of equipment in the lab. But we've got so many more capabilities now than we ever had before.
Well, I'm just going to page through here. I mean, there's the there's a certificate program that you can have, but there's a technology lab, and as Paul said, a plastics lab, an audio lab, metalworking, woodworking, wood turning. There's making your own acoustic guitar classes.
Yeah, that's our good business model. We want to make sure that if somebody wants to come in and invent something, that we want to make sure we don't have to charge too much money for that. Mm-hmm. So we started, in fact, Jeff Berner is the guy who's taken the Fab Lab from a couple of machines to what it is today. He's absolutely incredible. And he's introduced this guitar making program, and that's where we make our money. It's a great program. A very high-end guitar people will make. Even if you don't know anything about woodworking, come in, take this class. You'll walk away with a guitar that you made from scratch. That is an incredibly high-quality guitar. Well, that generates enough revenue in programs like that that allows us to keep the rest of the lights on and the machines running and the doors open so people can come in and use our equipment at a very, very low cost to them.
And so, and are they basically priced by time that they use on the machine? How does that work?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah, but basically by the hour, for like $10 or $15 an hour, you have access to everything in the lab. Right.
That's great.
And then if you need help, we charge you the cost of our technicians or an engineer or somebody like that.
And you just make an appointment to come in,
right,
and do that.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, this, if you haven't picked up the most recent, and this is the spring catalog that the community college puts out, just page through it. It is incredible to see all the courses, but indeed the Fab Lab that Paul was just talking about, it's just incredible that we have that available to us, and it's so...
And it's nationally recognized. Jeff was invited to the White House a couple months ago. They had a national conference on Fab Labs, or makerspaces, and two people from each state were invited, and Jeff was one of them.
Terrific.
And, we're very proud of what's going on there.
Well, thanks, Paul. We're going to take a short break here. I'm talking with Dr. Paul Pierpoint, Vice President of Community Education and Dean of the Southside Campus of the Northampton Community College. I'm Sally Halen. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking to Dr. Paul Pierpoint, Vice President, Community Education, and Dean of the Southside Campus of Northampton Community College. And we're talking about the Southside Fowler Campus tonight. And before our break, we were talking about the Fab Lab, and that stands for fabrication, but it's fabulous, too.
I think so. It's absolutely.
So,
whatever you want.
Yeah. Paul was saying that... the current director of the Fab Lab was invited down to the White House and on a conference of similar types of organizations.
Yep. There were approximately 100 people there.
Okay, you said two from each state.
Yep.
Okay.
And federal government recognizes that the idea of maker spaces in local communities is a really important movement across this country. It's, you know, everybody knows we need to have a strong manufacturing base, and actually we do. We have a very strong manufacturing base. It's just highly automated, very technology-based. But as a society, we've kind of lost our ability to tinker. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of kids, a lot of young people, and older people for that matter, never really develop an opportunity or have an opportunity to work with their hands and actually make something and then realize from that other capabilities they have. And so the Fab Lab movement is a big one. The federal government would like to find a way without getting involved, because the whole purpose, to me, the strength of the Fab Lab movement is it's kind of a guerrilla, very locally based, responsive kind of movement. It can't be direct. If you direct it too much, you're going to miss the real benefit of it. But they were interested in hearing from Fab Lab and Makerspace people, what can the government do to help them?
Who was the other person from Pennsylvania? Do you know what other
college? I don't know. I don't know. I should have probably checked that before I came.
No, that's all right. I just was curious, because it's great that Northampton was recognized for their contribution to be one of two.
Right. And we've been recruited to the United States Fab Lab Network. Jeff now serves on that board. They invite him, practically beg him, in fact, to come to every conference and present, because our model is so successful. We're definitely one of the most successful Fab Labs in the country.
And that model, was that based on what you saw in the book, and then you just customized it based on the community?
I think a lot of it is, first of all, Jeff has been able to recruit an amazing array of instructors. We have over 25, 26 instructors. All of them are masters at whatever it is they're teaching in the Fab Lab. And most of them, by the way, are entrepreneurs. They have their own business. So that keeps people really kind of excited. They're very entrepreneurial people anyway. So half the time, I don't even know what's going on down there. And I walk in and I find we've just added a new machine. We've hired a new instructor. We have a new course. And it's always being somewhat responsive as we can to the needs and interests of the very local community. So if people want to learn how to make anything, call. And chances are within a couple of weeks or a month, we'll have a class on how to make it.
Wow.
That just seems to be the model that we've been working on. And
it's
pretty amazing.
I've heard about this dinosaur robot.
Right.
Give us the history of that.
Yeah, Tobor, T-O-B-O-R, which is robot backwards, but it was from one of those grade B 1950s sci-fi movies. But Tobor the Great is a robot. When he's fully extended, he's 16 feet tall. This year we upgraded him, so he's actually now a dinosaur. He looks like a Tyrannosaurus.
Okay.
And makes noise and does all kinds of things. And he's totally controlled by a glove. You have there's no wired connection. It's all
move
the groove. Yeah.
Wow.
And then
but
what's really important about Tobor is it represents the efforts of most of the instructors at the Fab Lab. They've all volunteered their own time and their own equipment and created this incredible piece of technology over the last couple of years. And it's great teamwork. It's great way of visioning what is possible at the Fab Lab. And they went to the first year they had it. These guys are crazy. They broke it down, put it in a van, and drove to San Francisco. They drove to San Francisco to the Maker Faire there, the West Coast Maker Faire, maybe the biggest in the world, where they exhibit it. Then they drove it all the way back. And then this past year, after we upgraded it with the dinosaur head and the big tail and a bunch of other things, they went to the New York City Maker Faire, which I think is the biggest in the world.
Okay.
And they swept it. They won 6 blue ribbons. They were editor's choice. They were... out of 1,100, 1,200 different exhibits, Tobor was, if not the top number one, I believe he was the number one. He was certainly one of the top handful of exhibits in the entire makerspace.
Wow.
And it's great. It's great. And, I'm proud of them, but the guys who did it and the women who worked on it, they're phenomenal people. And I hope they recognize how special that whole initiative was and is. It continues. In fact, if you want Tobor, give us a call. He's available. We bring him out and show him around.
Oh, wow. So if you have something, an event going on or whatever, he comes and does a visit. Does he sign autographs too?
He probably does. If he doesn't, he will soon. They'll figure that out too. And every single part of that machine, that robot was fabricated in the lab.
Every single part. They didn't go outsource.
The only thing they did, they bought a remote control wheelchair.
Okay.
And disassembled it and reassembled it. So that's the base of the robot, so it moves around. But everything else was manufactured, right? The metal parts, the plastic parts, everything. It was manufactured and fabricated right there.
So someone comes and takes a tour. Will they see Tobor unless he's leased out?
Tobor takes up a lot of space, so yeah, we kind of disassemble that. Oh. But yeah, usually
there's a picture of him, maybe.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
In addition to this amazing teamwork that you have going on with Fab Lab and all the instructors and under Jeff's leadership, you have also had amazing teamwork within the community.
Oh, yeah.
To accomplish what you've accomplished and to help other organizations reach their goals as well. And I'm thinking that the community health outreach of like St. Luke's and
right.
some of the others. So you had initially started with that premise. Is that premise still really solid today?
Very much so. Absolutely. It was a little easier when we had a lot of empty space that was not developed. So if anybody wanted to use empty space that was kind of raw, we made an effort to try to either make it free or very, very inexpensive. For example, the Animal Food Bank of Lehigh Valley was located in our building for a number of years and allowed them to really get stabilized and grow. And now they're fully functioning on their own. So those kind of opportunities to partner with community organizations and let anybody, any not-for-profit in particular, use our space for meetings and conferences and forums and things. And we've totally embraced that philosophy that this is not just a college campus building, but it should be a community college campus building and part of the community. In fact, I looked. Over last year, we had more than 100 different community organizations use the facility. And many of them used it
multiple times.
Yeah.
I know when I was with the Chamber, we used it
multiple times
to have breakfasts and events. And
right.
I know the Southside Merchants use it periodically for their meetings. You know, so it's a great resource to have.
Yeah, we love it. The trouble is now the building's so busy, sometimes there's no space available. And so when people ask, I have to say, sorry, I can't do it.
We're booked.
But we're booked, yeah. But that's a good problem to have when all the spaces are being used. That's a really good problem.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk a little bit about one event that is a joint event, I think, with the Sands, and that's the Lehigh Valley Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah, that's college-wide. The Wine Festival is huge, and hopefully most of the listeners have attended one because it's been going on for quite a few years. They usually happen at the end of May or early June. The proceeds benefit the college's scholarship funds. Our culinary students have an opportunity to... A handful of them get selected every year to go to New Orleans to work with Emeril Lagasse at his, mothership restaurant down there.
Nice.
For an internship. We're now doing wine also. Some of our students have an opportunity to do wine tasting, and then they get selected to go work or do an internship at different places. It's a really great partnership that I believe it's probably the biggest fundraiser for the college, but. I think just as important as that, it gives our students an amazing opportunity to work with professionals that, you know, the top of the game people, top of the industry people. And that happens, I think, because we were able to create these relationships early on. And it's just continued to be a very, very positive partnership.
Well, and that benefits the hospitality and tourism
Absolutely.
Group, correct?
Yep. Yeah, right.
Now, is that group at all three campuses in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, the primary main classes right now are taught at Fowler or at Tannersville.
Okay.
On the main campus, they still take most of their general ed classes. And, of course, anything that's culinary related is taught on the main campus.
Right.
But all the management, the hotel management, the different kinds of, anything that doesn't involve cooking anyway is either taught at Fowler or up at Tannersville at the Monroe campus.
Okay, that's incredible. And, I have to admit, I have not been to it yet because I usually go away the weekend. It's there. Mm-hmm. It always conflicts with a pre-weekend, but I'm going to get there this year, I promise. So
the food is amazing.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And it's I don't know, 30, 40, I don't know how many different restaurants. They're all from the local, we have so many great restaurants in the Lehigh Valley.
I personally
take some credit for that because I think the fact that we started our culinary program in 1990 had a direct impact on the quality of restaurants in the Lehigh.
Of course it did.
Yes, of course it did. But it is great to see. In fact, a lot of those restaurateurs are, in fact, former NCC culinary students. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and I saw in your guide that some of your students come back and they then teach some of the courses, culinary courses.
Absolutely, any of our courses. We have a lot of our, particularly our community adjunct instructors are alumni also.
Yeah, that's terrific. Keep them engaged and
right.
moving towards the future, which is, let's look at, the primary curriculums today that you have right now are the hospitality, tourism, the clinics, healthcare training. What do you see being added to this? Where are things headed as far as the college goes?
Well, one thing you didn't mention in that list, of course, is also adult literacy and English as a second language.
That's right, I forgot. Right. Yes.
And I want to mention those because while everything else may come and go, and depending on what the sort of the economic conditions are and where the growth happens at a particular time, I think English as a second language and GED prep is going to continue to be a really core function of the Fowler Center for generations to come. I just really think so. We're the place where recent immigrants to this country can come and learn the skills they need that many of them already come with incredible skills. They just don't maybe have a language. But we can help recent immigrants get those skills and become a really active, participating, contributing part of our community. And I know at this time, there's all kinds of conversations about immigration and those kind of things. But if you come to the fourth floor of the Fowler Center on almost any day, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of people who are working incredibly hard to get that foothold in the American, a part of the American dream. And it's like the United Nations, I mean, at any given time, we could have 30, 40, 50 different languages spoken in our building.
That's the South Side.
Just as the South Side, yeah. I mean, it's obviously, it's located in the South Side, but we draw people from all over.
Yeah.
And to me, if there was only one thing that we could do, that we could guarantee we could do forever in that building, that's what I would pick. But when I look forward into the future, I think healthcare is going to continue to be very strong. I'm somewhat concerned about where technology is going to be taking an awful lot of jobs, and how do we prepare people for a world where technology is doing jobs? It's not just in manufacturing, right? Right now there are algorithms out there right now that can do your taxes. You don't need an accountant.
And you've got Alexa. She was the hit for the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I read that there's an algorithm that you can give them a bunch of words and give it a plot line, and it'll write prose for you. Now you have to edit it, but it does most of the heavy lifting. So I don't know where technology is going. So I think what we have to continue to do as a community college is help people be comfortable with technology and help them make sure they have skills and the ability to adapt and to continue to learn. So no matter what we teach anybody today, that person probably is going to need to learn something else next year or the year after.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, we are totally committed to constantly trying to determine what do people need to know today and what are they going to need to know tomorrow, and how can we help people be able to learn that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredible challenge. But, and I look at what is happening in South Bethlehem. Healthcare clearly is a biggie, but you look at what's happening at LVIP 7 and down at the Majestic properties and stuff. There is manufacturing coming back. Obviously, a lot of warehousing and physical distribution. Actually, we did have a truck driving program at Fowler at one point, but we don't have a lot right now, so we're not teaching it anymore down here. We teach it up in Monroe County. But that's one. If I could do a truck driving program in Bethlehem somewhere or in southern part of Northampton County, I would do that in a heartbeat. Beyond that, the Fab Lab, and what I know we'll be talking a little bit about the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation, I think that's really positioning us for the future. Dental hygiene will continue to be a big deal for a long time. So we'll see.
Do you see the, especially in the area of the non-credit courses, do you see that there will be a continuing increase in your over 50 group coming back? And
I hope so. It's interesting. We were just doing some real soul searching recently because our numbers are a little bit down and in those sort of fun stuff. And we realize the reason is if you want to learn how to make a kiffle, you can either take a class from us or you can go to YouTube.
Right.
And if you want to learn how to make a really great mojito, you can come to us or you can go to YouTube. You want to learn how to do anything practically, you can go to YouTube. So what would we offer for people, particularly, people over 50 or anybody for that matter? We do have, obviously programs targeted specific, but what can we offer that you can't get on YouTube? Well, the thing we can offer is an opportunity to learn with like-minded people. And that social experience that I think many of us miss because we are so connected through technology. So we're trying to find ways that we want to make the education experience an experience that is truly a social one and one where You know, they used to talk about visual learners and auditory learners. I think there's such a thing as an olfactory learner.
Okay.
You
yes.
have to smell yes. and breathe the same air as your teacher. And if you do that, I think you connect in ways that you just don't connect through technology. So we're trying to change our message from, you know, learn this new skill to enjoy working with other people while you all learn this new skill. It's a different message. And if it works, I think we're going to be successful in the future. But I think we have to emphasize that because there's just so much access to knowledge now. And how do we compete with that? And it's free.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, we can't be free.
we can't
do that.
There's a little bit of overhead there.
Right. I mean, we keep it pretty inexpensive, but it's not free. So, and it's not right at your fingertips. So it's got to be an experience that people are willing to pay for and get in their car and drive to. And I think the number one thing we offer, first, we offer incredibly talented instructors, but I think also the people in the class with you have to be part of the attraction.
Right.
So.
Right. A sense of community, sense of co-workers
right,
scenario.
Right. And like-minded people, people who are interested in learning more about whatever it is you're learning about, whether it's yoga or wine or history or anything.
Yeah. And that's those relationships tend to go beyond the classroom then, which is really nice.
Yeah, right. It's a great place to meet new people.
Yeah, it is. If you're new to the community.
Well, Ann Landers always said that. You know, the first thing you do if you're new to a community is take a non-credit class at a college. Well, I don't want to be the dating game, you know. We're not eHarmony, but it is still a great place to come and meet people who you know, have shared interests.
Right. And in the thrust of the Urban Center, hopefully easily to get at and access.
Yep.
Terrific. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the non-credit courses that are offered at 3rd Street. But before we do, I just want to mention one program, and then we're going to take a short break. And that's the business series that you support at the Southside campus. That is the corporate and business learning is terrific for existing businesses to be able to tap into.
Yeah, the Center for Business and Industry, we located that away from main campus, brought it with us over to the Fowler Center. And we have an amazing array of contracted, customized training, but also just a whole lot of workshops that we do in the building. And for-profit, not-for-profit manufacturers, service industry, healthcare, education. There's just a whole array of clients that come and send people to these workshops. And they're great. I love them. I know that they're helping people move ahead in their careers. They're helping companies be more competitive, more successful. I feel really good about what we're doing with the CBI, Center for Business and Industry.
So the college is just not individuals. It's also businesses as taking part of that.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're going to take another short break. I'm talking with Dr. Paul Pierpoint, Vice President of Community Education and Dean of the Southside Campus of Northampton Community College, about the Southside Fowler Campus. I'm Sally Hanlon. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
WDIY offers classical music 6 days a week, including Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, Sunday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., and Sunday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. WDIY Classics covers all eras from medieval and baroque, romantic to modern. Listen for birthday tributes to composers, interviews with local artists and conductors, and the classical events calendar each week. For more information, visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking with Dr. Paul Pierpoint, Vice President, Community Education, Dean of the Southside Campus of Northampton Community College. And we're talking about the Fowler Campus, the Southside Campus. And one of the things that really we've talked about for the first two parts of the show is the partnership, the integration of this campus into the Southside community, into the Bethlehem community. And there's one program that we overlooked, and I'd like Paul to talk about that. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I'm particularly proud of this program, and I think a lot of people have heard of it, but it's the Cops and Kids Reading Room, which is on our fourth floor. It's because the reading room is dedicated primarily to children and children's literacy, so it makes sense to put it on the same floor with our adult literacy programs. And I have a feeling a lot of people probably know Beverly Bradley, who has been the energy, the heart, the brain, the soul, everything behind the Cops and Kids Reading Room. And in fact, she just gave me a report today that through the this program has, since it started 10 years ago now, has given away 775,000 books for free.
Wow.
775,000. And just last year alone, was able to impact over 24,000 individuals, just last year alone. And this is just one of those partnerships that, you know, it seems like somebody must have been planning this from on high, because I was at a conference here in the Lehigh Valley, and one of our mutual friends introduced me to Bev, and she told me about what her envision was for this program to bring books into the lives of children living in poverty. And she gave me statistics. This is the first time I ever talked to her, and I still remember some of the statistics. A child living in poverty is, if they're lucky, they're read to 7 or 8 hours, maybe, by the time they're ready to go to school. Total. Many are not read at all. A child living in poverty is likely to live in a home that has never had a book in it. And so when they start school, whether they're preschool or kindergarten, they're so far behind in terms of their vocabulary.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they didn't even know how to, they didn't know how to open a book. They had never seen one. And so putting books into the hands of children living in poverty can have an impact that will resonate not just in that child's life, but in the generations that follow that child. And her argument or her proposition was so compelling. And she said, the only thing we need is we need a place. We need a room where we can invite the community in, where children can feel comfortable and valued and loved and no fear, and where we can help them discover the wonder of reading and owning books. And I probably should have talked to my president at the time, but this was another one of those moments where I thought, okay. And I stood up at this conference in front of several hundred people and said, Cops and Kids is going to have a reading room in South Bethlehem in our new facility. We were just starting to work with the architects on it then, and we did. And you know, incredible support from the community. Virtually every major employer in this region has probably done a book drive and volunteered, and all the different colleges and people. And this dedication to youth literacy and trying to change the lives of the youngest people of our community, the ones who have least access to the opportunities of this incredible country and incredible community. It's just incredibly moving. And we had our 10th anniversary just a month or so ago. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And if we could do that kind of stuff,
the impact is
exactly
far-reaching.
Exactly. And so I'm just really glad. And thank you for backtracking so I could include that, because as you can tell, it's one of those things that's really close to my heart.
Well, and the name Cops and Kids, was it originally because the cops carried the books in their trunk?
Yeah, it was actually started a woman cop in Wisconsin. When they would respond to, particularly to domestic violent, calls, they would go into these homes and the children would be scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they would bring teddy bears or toys or something to just give to the child to try to calm the child down. And somehow, I forget exactly what prompted her to do this, but she started giving out books instead and found that was really powerful, that a child given a book and then talked to as a human being by the cop. Here, you know, mommy and daddy are going to, we have a conversation with mom and daddy now, but here, why don't you take a look at this? And this is for you. You get to keep this. And it had such an impact. And so all the cops in that city in Wisconsin, I forget, it wasn't Madison, but I forget which one, would have a trunk load
of books,
children's books. And then it just took off from there.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah.
What a great story. But let's talk a little bit, but for our listeners, so they understand the sort of the breadth of the non-credit that is available at the Southside campus. You cover everything from jewelry to, well, we've talked about the Fab Lab, but dance.
Yeah, right, we do dance, yoga, self-defense, fitness. We have two really, really good studios for that. We've got a couple of art studios, so if you don't want to go through the traditional college routine, you can still learn how to draw and paint and do some basic. And in fact, not just basic, you can do some very nice artwork. Jewelry is a very popular program for us, jewelry making. And then we have our demonstration kitchen.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And well, so we will bring in a local chefs or whoever and show people how to make different kinds. It's really nice. It's got the tiered seating, and but mostly we'll have small enough classes that people can just gather around the counter like you're at your own kitchen. And it's great. We also, in that room, in addition to teaching people all kinds of different cooking techniques, including different ethnic foods and all kinds of stuff, we do beer and wine appreciation, wines of different countries, different kinds of beers and things. We do scotch. And I mentioned earlier how to make a mojito. We really do have classes in that. I love that room. And in fact, there's a great partnership we've done in that room a few times where we've had children from the community come in and we'll have volunteers who will show them how to prepare a nutritious meal for very low cost. And so every child then will leave that session with a backpack that has all the ingredients to make the food, plus a little cookbook with a recipe in it, and all that's donated. It's all donated, whether it's from Wegmans or some of the other grocery stores. And the time, Bev Bradley's the one who tends to be behind this again.
Yeah.
And just gets amazing people to come out and volunteer. I really love that part of it. And so, most of what happens in that room is quality of life for relatively accomplished, successful people, but that's not the only purpose. Exactly.
Well, there is a whole a curriculum for the youth at the college as well.
And actually most of that happens on main campus or in Monroe, but our summer youth program, Horizons for Youth, is huge. It takes over the campus.
Does it really?
And we also have after school and weekend, year round, but it's the summer program that people know the most. And we do some at the South Side, but not a lot, not compared to the main campus. There's so many more facilities on the main campus. So.
Sure.
It's just, that's a really good one too. So if you've got kids between the age of, I don't know, maybe 5 and 15, there's chances are there's something for them in that program.
Wow. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the crystal ball. Let's talk about what's coming up. You sort of talked a little bit about the Center for Innovation or mentioned that. Let's talk about what that is and what that means to
that's
the campus.
That's the big, big next step. $4.8 million project. Hopefully by the time this airs, we have selected our architects and we will begin the work on designing the facility. The only floor of the building that hasn't been finished is the first floor, kind of ironically. We started basically at the top. So the first floor is still pretty rough. I kind of like it. It's got a funky feel to it when you walk into the lobby there, but it's a 1942 lobby. And so we're going to completely change the whole first floor. And what has prompted the theme for this, the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, is the success of the Fab Lab. The Fab Lab is kind of squirreled away on the back of the third floor, way back in the building. You have to kind of find your way to it. It's landlocked, it doesn't have enough space to grow. So we're going to bring it down to the first floor, about double the footprint, the amount of space it has. So we can really make it even more accessible and more functional for a lot of different people. And then we're going to introduce finally an entrepreneurship program. The Northampton Community College does a lot of things. We've prepared all kinds of people for all kinds of jobs, but we never really were able to kick off an entrepreneurship program real well. Well, this time we're going to do it. This is going to be great, and it's kind of a movement across the country. We're not really cutting edge on the entrepreneurship part, but by linking it with our Fab Lab, we're going to get a head start on everybody else. And so we will be working with all the different organizations that already exist in the local entrepreneurship ecosystem, and we're not going to duplicate anybody. We're just going to meld right in and mesh and fill the different niche, an educational niche primarily. And then on top of that, we know that even our own students, whether they're in automotive tech or welding or nursing or many of the programs where we prepare people to go for a culinary, big one, they really want to start their own business.
Right.
So we haven't really done anything specific to help them. But now with the center, we will be able to provide a lot of access to resources as well as, the education and training and support that initiative. And we want to really convert a good bit of the whole college culture from preparing people to get a job to preparing people to create their own job. And that movement towards entrepreneurship that will empower people Because let's face it, if you get a job today, it doesn't mean you're going to have that job a year from now. You never know what's going to happen. But if you have empowered people themselves to think of themselves as a product that they can develop all the time, it's a powerful model and a powerful self-vision. And so that's what we want to try to promote with this Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We're also going to have a restaurant. It'll only do probably breakfast and lunch, but we're calling it a Panera-like just to get an idea. We don't know exactly what it will be, but... And that will include a dining area that will serve as a multi-purpose space so that we have more space for community organizations and for our own events because we need that space.
Yeah.
So those are the three main components. And we're also going to have a GED testing center there now. We'll expand that. And then hopefully they're going to build a parking garage right next to our building, which will solve our parking problems. And part of the project will be to build a pedestrian bridge into the parking garage.
Okay, so people don't have to walk. Go across 3rd Street.
Well, it's actually on the same. It'll be between us and the charter school.
All right.
But you won't have to walk across the driveway.
Okay.
Since that's going to be the main entrance, it's much better if people can come directly into the building.
Yeah.
So it's all very exciting. I think it will change not only what we offer in the South Side, but if we do it right, I think it will help move the college culture. And as you know, Northampton is an incredibly entrepreneurial college anyway.
Yes, it is.
But I think this will help us really move that needle even further and become even a more dynamic, responsive community college as we infuse that entrepreneurial spirit across our culture even more.
Now, you made it a sentence there or a phrase there that rather than educating people for their career, you're educating them for their...
To create a job.
To create a job. Okay.
That, you know, I mean, we try to be really responsive to local employer needs. So what skill set do you need? Okay, this is what you need. And then we want to make sure our graduates have that skill set. But because we know that skill set demand is going to change.
Right. Yeah.
Then we want to make sure that the people that we have trained are also invest in themselves and view themselves as a project in work all the time, a process, in process. And have an entrepreneurial feeling about themselves that they don't have to feel like they're obligated to find somebody who will pay them to work, but rather maybe they can create work. Maybe they can create value. And that's really what entrepreneurship is about. It's about creating value. So if you can create value for a community, maybe that means you're going to get hired. Maybe that means you sell something. But to me, it's just a different way of looking at your role in a community as opposed to being purely a worker.
Well, and I like the different approach to education. I mean, that makes an awful lot of sense. I know as a banker, when I used to have people come in who were very skilled at whatever they did, whether it was auto mechanics and even physicians, you know, they wanted to break out on their own, none of them had business skills.
Right. They talk about the difference between an inventor and an entrepreneur is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between an entrepreneur and a business person is huge.
Yes.
And yet many people want to be all three.
Yes, they do.
And they may be good at one, but not the other two. And if they aren't good at all three of them, they're doomed to failure. So we want to make sure that at least that entrepreneurship part
succeeds.
We know we can do the other part.
Yeah. That's terrific. I'm going to take that quote and just use it myself because I think that's a great way to approach education going forward.
Yeah, I think we have to.
Yeah, I mean, when I talk to some of the college presidents on the show and we talk about just the changing dynamics of the careers of tomorrow that we have no idea what they are today,
right.
How do you prepare students for that?
I know, exactly. I think the best thing we can do is teach them how to learn.
Right.
Because they're going to have to keep learning.
Right, and be versatile and enjoy learning.
Exactly, yeah, right. They have to want to learn. It can't be a chore. If it's a chore,
right.
And that's part of the problem. You know, formal education has a tendency to burn the love of learning out of people. And we have to find a way to reinfuse it, yeah, and get that back up there and get it fired back up again so people love to learn.
Yeah, wow. Now, you had mentioned, about some of the activities going around in the South Side. Do you see anything happening in the South Side that you think was going to be impacting maybe the potential for new students that you might have coming?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with, right across the street, of course, is the Greenway Commons.
Mm-hmm.
The construction has begun there. There'll be 90 apartments. And when they're done, there'll be 100 and some. I don't know how many.
Oh, wow.
Quite a few. And, of course, the project at 3rd and New. And there's higher-end apartments up on 378. So there's I think there's a movement in South Bethlehem that is already on North Bethlehem. But I think it's going to happen in South Bethlehem where we're going to see people that kind of look like me, old guys. As well as younger people.
Well, this is the place to retire, right?
I agree 100%.
And
that's
Money Magazine?
Right. Money Magazine said this is the place to retire. So I think we're going to see an influx of people into South Bethlehem, of people with significant disposable income and a desire to learn and a desire to experience. So
and still be alive and engaged
exactly.
In
life. That's right. So they'll be going to the restaurants, they'll be going to the shows, and they'll be going to, hopefully, our classes. My biggest fear, and it's not really a fear, but it's something that we've talked about among my staff, is that someday I worry that we could lose our direction and our focus on the people who need us most and instead end up shifting too many of our resources to the people who can pay us the most. And that we should never do that. As a comprehensive community college, we need to be constantly focused on the people who need us the most, whether they can afford us or not. And so the gentrification that may occur as part of this development of Southside, it's all good as long as we maintain a good,
balance.
Solid... Yeah, we need to have the diversified income neighborhoods and all that.
Right.
You don't want this block being rich people, this block poor, that, you know.
Right.
But if we can get that sense of community across economic spectrum, that strata, that would be ideal. But from the community college perspective, we need to always remember why we're there. And we're there to help everybody improve their lives, but we can improve some people's more than we can improve others.
Right.
And that impact can have much more of a profound consequence in some people than it will in others. And I just think we have to always kind of remind ourselves that's why we're here.
Good point. And we're about to wrap up. We've got about a minute or so left, Paul, with the show. Is there anything else about the college, the campus, anything upcoming that you want to make sure our listeners are aware of?
Well, we have spring is coming eventually, right? So in April.
Sooner, I think, with this crazy weather.
Right, yeah, right. Now, tomorrow, I guess, actually. But, we have in April, there's the Celebration of Reading, which is the Cops and Kids project, with partners with everybody in the community practically. And there'll be 4,000 or 5,000 people come for that. And then in May is the Wine and Food Festival, and I guess we're about out of time. So those are the biggies coming up anyway.
Okay, and the web address is northampton.edu?
Yes.
And the courses are?
They're all in LifeLearn. When you get to northampton.edu, click on Continuing Ed, Continuing
okay.
Education, and you'll figure it out from there. It's pretty easy to figure it out from there.
Paul, thank you so much for spending the time with us tonight and bringing us all up to date with these past 11 years and looking into the future for the community college.
It's been totally my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Great to have you here. This is Sally Hanlon. Thank you so much for listening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. Have a good evening.